A second scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 through 21. Jacob fears Esau. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, 'Thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants and female servants. I have sent them to tell my lord in order that I might find favor in your sight.'" And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking, "If Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offering as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants and every drove by itself, and said to his servants, 'Pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove.' He instructed the first, 'When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us.' He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves, 'You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, "Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us." For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp."
Thank you, Camille. All right. Well, I'm excited to be sharing this sermon with you guys. This is a two-part sermon, this week and next week. And we're going to be just looking at the journey of Jacob and Esau, of Jacob coming back to Esau. And during this first part, it really got me thinking about how there are just some things in life that we simply can't just leave behind. We simply can't just walk away from. We can do everything we can by like moving to different towns, by changing our jobs, by trying to leave the situation, or even putting years between the painful times. Yet there are other things that seem to follow us, because distance does not always bring healing. Most of us have something in our past that we'd rather not relive. It might be a decision we regret, a relationship we damaged, a conversation we avoided, or something painful that someone did to us. We may not think about it every day, But the right situation can suddenly bring back all of those emotions right back to the surface. And in some ways, that makes me think about this past week with Rainforest VBS. Our church was filled with children, volunteers, Bible stories, crafts, games, doing missions and snacks, and all kinds of energy. For several days, we spent a lot of time talking with the children about God and helping them understand that He is present and He is working in their lives. One thing I love about VBS is that we are planting truth in the lives of children that we hope will carry them for years. We want them to know God before the difficult seasons come. Because difficult seasons will eventually come for all of us, and we want the truth of God's word to be something they can return to when life becomes confusing, frightening, or even painful. The story we are looking at today is about a man who desperately needs to remember what God has already shown him. Jacob is returning home after approximately 20 years away, and returning home means facing his brother Esau. Jacob has built an entire new life at this point, but there is still an unresolved past of his old life that is waiting for him. Jacob and Esau had struggled from the beginning. Jacob took advantage of Esau's hunger and obtained the birthright in exchange for a bowl of stew. And later, Jacob deceived the father Isaac in order to receive Esau's blessing. When Isaac asked Jacob who he was, Jacob lied and said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." Jacob got the blessing he wanted, but there was a cost. Esau was devastated. His grief turned into anger, and he decided that he wanted to kill Jacob. And Jacob fled from home and went to live with his uncle Laban, believing that perhaps that he could simply wait until Esau's anger has passed. A short absence became approximately 20 years. And in those 20 years, Jacob married, he had children, he accumulated wealth, and he built an entirely new life. Yet 20 years of distance did not erase what has happened between him and Esau. Eventually, God told Jacob to return home. Jacob obeyed, but obedience meant traveling directly towards the person he feared most. And sometimes obedience to God does not lead us away from something uncomfortable. Sometimes obedience to God leads us directly towards what we have spent years avoiding. And that doesn't mean God wants to hurt us. Sometimes God leads us back towards a difficult place because He loves us so much that He doesn't want to let fear, guilt, shame, or bitterness to control us forever. God may have led us towards something painful because He intends to bring healing where we have only created distance. Genesis 32 begins with something remarkable. As Jacob travels, the angels of God meet him. And Jacob calls the place, this is a difficult word for me, Mahanaim? We're going to go with that. It's close enough. Meaning two camps. Jacob sees his own camp, but God allows him to recognize that there's another camp, that there's the heavenly camp that is with him. Before Jacob receives the frightening news, God reminds him that he is not alone. Before Jacob learns that Esau is approaching with 400 men, God shows him that the heavens is already present. Before Jacob faces his past, God gives him a reminder of his faithfulness. This was not the first time Jacob had encountered angels. When he originally fled from home, God met him at Bethel through the dream. He met him at Bethel through the dream of the stairwell between heaven and earth. God met Jacob when he was running away, and now God is meeting Jacob as he's returning. And that is something worth remembering. God had been faithful during the 20 years in between. Even Even when Jacob could not see everything God was doing, the same God who watched over Jacob when he left was still present when he was returning. And maybe that's another lesson we can carry with us from a week of VBS. We spent the time telling the children stories about God's faithfulness, but those truths are not only simply for the children. Sometimes us adults, we need to just have simple reminders of the simple truths that we keep teaching the kids, that God is with us. The simple truths of that God loves us, that he is our safe place, that he knows everything, that he is our creator, and that he is forever. The presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. God did not show Jacob the heavenly camp because nothing difficult was going to happen. He showed Jacob the heavenly camp because something difficult was ahead. And Jacob needed to remember that he was not facing it alone. Jacob sends a messenger ahead to Esau, and they return with a short report. Esau is coming, and 400 men are with him. They do not say Esau is angry. They do not say that Esau is threatening Jacob. They do not say that Esau intends to attack or even kill Jacob. They just say there Esau is coming and there are 400 men with him. Genesis says that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He begins dividing his people, his animals, into two groups so that if Esau attacks one of them, perhaps the other one can escape and Jacob. And Jacob's first response to fear is to create a strategy for survival. And there's an interesting contrast here. Jacob just had named the place Manhannah because he recognized his camp in God's camp. But when fear takes over, Jacob begins creating his own two camps. He has just been reminded that God is with him, that God is protecting him. Yet he immediately turns back into self-protection. And we do this often, and we do this a lot, and I do this a lot too. We know that God is faithful, but when something unexpected happens, we begin calculating, we begin worrying, we begin imagining, and we begin to attempt to control every detail. We rehearse the conversation that might not happen, and we prepare ourselves for the disaster that may never occur. Jacob does not actually know why Esau is bringing 400 men. He only knows what Esau wanted to do 20 years earlier. Jacob's unresolved past is shaping the way he interprets the present. There's an illustration that Keisha and I talked about during one of our sessions that we completed for our premarital counseling. We watched a couple of videos dealing with wounds, lies, and lies that we sometimes believe because of those wounds. And the ways these affect our relationship. One of the illustrations that stayed with us was a picture of a rubber band. If I take a rubber band and I stretch it as far as I can go, I can put a long ways between where it started and where it's going now. For a moment, it looks like the rubber band is somewhere completely different. But when I let go of it, it goes back to where it started. It immediately snaps back to the original position. And sometimes we can be like that too. Years may pass, circumstances may change, and we may feel as if though we have moved a long way from something that happened to us. Yet if we never really deal with what happened inside of us, the right pressure can cause us to snap right back to the way we reacted in the first time. Maybe we snap back to anger. Maybe we snap back to controlling, being defensive, being quiet, being withdrawn, being dishonest or desperate to please everyone around us. We may be surprised by our own reaction because we may have thought we have moved beyond that part of our lives. That does not mean we have not grown. We may have genuinely matured and became healthier in many ways. But sometimes there is a wound wound beneath the surface that we really never deal with, or we really never dealt with. That seems to be what is happening with Jacob. 20 years have passed, and almost everything about his life has changed. But one message from Esau caused Jacob to snap right back to fear, right back to planning, right back to controlling, and trying to protect himself. The fear is old, even though the situation is new. The 400 men are in the present, but Jacob's reaction is being shaped by what happened 20 years earlier. Jacob has moved forward physically, but the part of his heart is still back in the moment when he ran from Esau. And that was something Keisha and I talked about during premarital counseling as well. When two people get married, neither person comes into the marriage without a completely blank background. We both bring experiences, we both bring expectations, family backgrounds, we both bring in fears, we both bring in habits, and ways we learn to react before we ever met each other. And sometimes a small disagreement in the present can touch something much older underneath. A comment 5 minutes ago may touch a fear that began 5 years ago, or even 10 years ago. And that does not excuse a sinful or hurtful response. But understanding where the reaction comes from can help us to know what we need to bring before God. Perhaps someone was abandoned and the wound produced the belief, people always leave. Maybe someone experienced instability and began believing, I have to control. I need to control everything to be safe. Another person may have learned, my feelings do not matter, so I should keep everything inside. And those beliefs eventually shape the way we relate to other people. We withdraw, we attack, we control, we hide, we constantly, we work constantly, we people please. We pretend everything is fine because those reactions makes us feel protected. Yet the very things we use to protect ourselves can eventually hurt the relationship we care about most. And that is why healing involves more than just simply saying, that happened a long time ago. Sometimes we need to ask what happened and how the belief has affected us and how the belief continually affects us today. We need to let God speak truth in the places where fear and lies has been controlling us. Understanding why we react a certain way does not remove the responsibility for our actions. Jacob had been mistreated by Laban during the 20 years, but that did not excuse Jacob's own manipulation. Healing requires honesty about both the things that has happened to us and how we have responded. And maybe that is one thing we should pray for the children that were here for VBS this last week. We can't protect them from every hurt they will experience, but we can pray for them. We can pray that the simple truths they learned about God will become stronger than the lies they may someday be tempted to believe. We can pray that when fear says you are alone, they remember that God is with them. When failure says you are worthless, they remember that who God says they are. When life becomes difficult, we can pray that the seeds planted through a week like VBS continues, pointing them back to Jesus. Jacob needed the same reminder. His fears tells him that everything depends upon his ability to control what happens next. Yet God has already shown Jacob that he is not alone and that God has been faithful to him for years. Jacob eventually does something important. He prays. He begins by saying, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. Before Jacob talks about Esau and the 400 men, he remembers who God is. And that is a powerful pattern for us. When fear becomes large in our minds, we may need to remind ourselves that God is larger. We may need to remind ourselves that his character is faithful. We need to remember his character before the circumstances. We can remember the faithfulness that he's done before this the event. That is Jacob also remembers what God told him. God commanded Jacob to return home and promised to do good to him. Jacob is basically saying, God, I'm on this road only because you told me to be here. And obedience does not always mean we feel comfortable. Sometimes doing what God asks us makes us feel really uncomfortable, feel vulnerable. We may need to tell the truth and admit we were wrong. We may need to apologize. We may need to seek forgiveness. We may need to have the conversation that we'd rather not have. Jacob then admits that he is not worthy of all the steadfast love and the faithfulness that God has shown him. Years earlier, he crossed the Jordan with only a staff, but now he has an enormous household. Jacob recognizes that everything he has is the evidence of God's grace. And this is significant because Jacob once acted as though the blessings were something he needed to take for himself. Now he's recognizes that God has already been far more gracious than he deserves. Jacob is beginning to understand that he does not have to manipulate life in order to receive God's grace. Then Jacob becomes completely honest. He says, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Jacob does not pretend that he's afraid of Esau. And faith is not pretending that fear does not exist. Faith is bringing our fears honestly before God. And sometimes one of the healthiest prayers we can pray is simply, God, I am afraid. God, I am afraid and I need you. Perhaps we need to name our fears clearly as Jacob did. Jacob names Esau. Maybe we need to say, God, I am afraid that they will leave. God, I am afraid I will fail. And maybe we need to admit, God, I am afraid I will lose control. God, I am afraid I'll lose control and that the fear is affecting the way I treat people. And that brings us back to the rubber band. When pressure is applied, where do you tend to snap back to? What fears might be underneath that reaction? And what are you believing in the moment? God wants to bring his truth into that place. Maybe the truth is I'm not alone because God is with me. Maybe the truth is I do not have to control everything because God can be trusted. After praying, Jacob prepares a large gift for Esau. And there's wisdom in what Jacob does before because he is approaching his brother humbly and trying to make peace. Jacob once took from Esau, and now he is willing to generously give to him. And sometimes reconciliation, that's a hard word for me, reconciliation requires action. If we have caused harm, we may need to apologize, accept the responsibilities, and make something right when we are able to. Saying I'm sorry means very little if we refuse to acknowledge the actions that we did. At the same time, Jacob is still attempting to control the outcome. He arranges the gift into separate groups and carefully telling each of the servants what to say. He has prayed, but he is also trying to make absolutely certain that it happens the way he wants it to happen. And that is another way Jacob looks a lot like us. We pray, God, I trust you. And then we immediately start controlling everything again. We give the situation to God in prayer, then we take it right back through our worries. God does not bring these things to the surface so that he can shame us. He brings them into the light because he wants to heal us. The God who met Jacob on the road is the same God who is willing to meet us in the places we rather avoid. The gospel gives us the courage to do that because Jesus already knows the worst parts of our stories. He knows our failures, our wounds, our fears, our sins, and he still went to the cross for us. Because of Jesus, we do not have to hide behind pretending, controlling, or to run. Perhaps God is asking you to take one faithful step. Maybe that means praying honestly about something you have had hidden for years. Maybe he's encouraging you to seek forgiveness. Maybe he's encouraging you to offer forgiveness. Maybe he's encouraging you to go have a difficult conversation. Or asking someone you trust for help. We cannot control every outcome. But you can choose to be faithful. Tonight, Jacob will be left alone. And God will meet him in the darkness. God will not immediately remove Esau or the 400 men. Instead, God will change the man who he has walked. Instead, God will change the man he has walked into the morning. Next week, we will see Jacob wrestle through the night and walk away with a new name, a blessing and a limp. His circumstances will not immediately change, but Jacob will. And sometimes that is the first miracle God needs to perform. So we're going to leave today, maybe in our prayers, maybe our prayers need to simply be, God, show me what I have been running from. Show me where I am snapping back to. Show me what you want to change inside of me. Then may we trust that the same God who is faithful to Jacob will be faithful to us. We have spent the past week telling the children at VBS that God loves them and knows them and walks with them. And those are truths that we don't outgrow. We don't outgrow those even when we become adults. They are truths that we need even more when life becomes complicated. Jacob's fear was real, but God's presence was greater. His past was painful, but God was not finished writing his story. And whatever we may be carrying today, God is not finished with us either. Planning is not wrong. Wisdom and responsibility are good things. But there is a difference between making a plan and believing everything depends upon our plans. Our responsibility is faithfulness, while the outcome ultimately belongs to God. Jacob can control how he approaches Esau, but he cannot control how Esau will respond. He can humble himself, seek peace, take responsibility for his own actions, but he cannot force Esau to forgive him. Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." That means we do what depends on us. And we entrust the other person's response to God. We can offer an apology, but we cannot force somebody to receive it. There are also situations where reconciliation. I need to work on that word. It is requires wisdom and health and boundaries. Forgiveness does not mean pretending that the abuse or harm never happened. It does not always mean returning to the same kind of relationship. Esau's situation requires prayer, truth, wisdom, and sometimes the help of others. As Genesis 32:21 ends, Jacob's gifts go ahead of him, and the night begins to fall. Esau is somewhere ahead with 400 men, and Jacob has no idea what the morning will bring. Jacob believes that his greatest problem is waiting in front of him. But before Jacob meets Esau, Jacob is going to meet with God. Jacob thinks that the greatest struggle will happen in the morning when he sees his brother. But the most important struggle will actually happen during the night. And God is going to deal with Jacob before Jacob deals with Esau. And that is the big idea behind this two-part series, that sometimes God changes our situation by changing us first. We often pray, God, change them. God, fix this situation. Yet sometimes God says, before we talk about them, let's talk about you. And I don't always like that. Maybe God wants us to deal with fear that has controlled us for years. Maybe he wants to confront pride or bitterness, guilt, dishonesty, or our need to control everything. Maybe we are asking God to change someone else while God is asking us to surrender something within us to him. So here's the question I want us to sit with today. What are you still running from? Is there a conversation you need to have and an apology you need to do? Or is there something you need to bring honestly before God? Is there an old wound that continues shaping the way we react today? When pressure comes, where do you snap back to? Do you become angry, controlling, defensive, withdrawn, or afraid? Instead of simply asking God to stop the behavior, perhaps we need to ask him to heal what is underneath. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of Jacob and Esau, Lord. Lord, help us to not run from the past, but run towards you, Lord. Help us to remember these simple truths that we have taught the kids at VBS. Lord, what a blessing it is that you look at relationships so important, Lord. Lord, a relationship with Jacob and Esau could have just left and never seen each other again. You're bringing them back together, Lord. Lord, be with us this week. And may we think about what you are calling us to heal from, Lord. What the challenging things you might challenge us with that are in our past. Lord, I pray this all in your name. Amen.